time that we have together tonight. We thank you for the families that are represented here. We thank you for Geneva Academy and its efforts to partner with parents in raising up the next generation of faithful Christian servants and disciples. And we pray that through tonight's banquet and through other events that you would help Geneva to continue to fulfill its mission. Father, we pray that you would bless us, that you would be with us, that you would speak to us, that you would give us your truth and your wisdom. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Usually when we talk about the importance of Christian education, when we talk about the necessity of Christian education, we focus on curriculum. Christian schools like Geneva use a distinctively Christian curriculum. It's not just adding a Bible class to the same curriculum you would get in a secular school. The whole curriculum is worked out from the perspective of the Scriptures. And so many times that will mean talking about things like the trivium or talking about why we have the emphasis on language that we do or the emphasis on music. But it especially means that we emphasize the centrality of the Bible to the whole curriculum. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving God with our minds means learning to think like God in all of life. It means thinking God's thoughts after him. It means learning to look at all of life through the lens of God's word. Sometimes this is referred to as building a Christian worldview, a Christian way of viewing the world, looking at the world. Christian education means inculcating this Christian worldview in our students. It means cultivating an intellectual love for God in all that our students do. It's said many times in the Christian education movement, there is no neutrality in education. That's one of our fundamental principles. If we aren't training our students to think Christianly about all of life, they will inevitably slip into secular and idolatrous patterns of thought. So we seek to give our students a distinctively Christian perspective on every subject in the curriculum, a distinctively Christian way of looking at art and literature. We teach them how to watch a movie with biblical discernment, with wisdom. We train them in the distinctively Christian philosophical foundations of math and science. And we help them to understand that history is not just a jumble of random events, but it's unfolding according to a script, the script of God's eternal purpose. It's the unfolding of God's sovereign plan. And so we seek to help our students make their thoughts obedient to Christ Jesus. Genuine knowledge of any fact only comes when we understand that fact as God's fact, when we come to see that that fact has God's fingerprints all over it. We show our students that without the light of Scripture, our minds are darkened and our thinking is futile. All truth is Christ's truth because in Him everything coheres. Deuteronomy 6 is one of the many passages in Scripture that makes this plain. Deuteronomy 6 calls upon parents to teach the Word of God diligently to their children. It says that when we sit in our homes, when we walk along the way, when we lie down, when we rise up, we're to be teaching the Word of God continually, saturating the environment that our children are in with God's truth. All of life is to be one big classroom in which God's truth is taught. But it is especially in the Christian school classroom that this instruction happens most intensively, most in a most concentrated way. This is where we especially impress the truth of God's Word upon the hearts of our children. Parents do this. Teachers partner with parents in doing this. That's what a Christian school is all about. Deuteronomy 6 says we are to teach our children to put the law of God on their hands, to govern what they do, to put the law of God on their foreheads, to govern their thoughts. We're to put the law of God on our doorposts to govern our community life and our family life. We're to put the law of God on our city gates to govern our political life, our public life. See, in a Christian school, students are taught everything from the perspective of God's Word. We don't teach our students to spend all their time looking into the light of God's Word. But we do teach them to look at everything else in the light that God's Word provides. This stress on a Bible-based, Bible-centered education is wonderful. It is a non-negotiable. It's one of the things that makes a school like Geneva so special. It makes it what it is, a distinctively Christian school. A Bible-shaped curriculum for our kids is really equipping our kids in the best possible way for the rest of life, because it's really the Bible that puts us in touch with reality. It's really the Scriptures that show us the way things really are. So when we teach our kids from this perspective, from a biblical perspective, we're really teaching them how to live life God's way in God's world. And so naturally, as you might expect, Christian schools excel academically because they're in touch with reality, with the fundamental truths of God's Word. Christian schools inevitably are excellent academically. But this stress on the excellence of the curriculum can sometimes go awry. Sometimes, even with all our emphasis on having a Bible-centered curriculum, we end up treating education as a means to an end. Again, Christian schools are generally a cut above other schools. Certainly, that's true of Geneva. But for that very reason, it's easy for us to become a bit too pragmatic. Oh, sure, all the Christian stuff that our kids are getting in school is wonderful, it's great, but what's most important in the back of many parents' minds is kids getting good test scores. And why do we want kids to get good test scores? So they can get into a good college. And why do we want them to get into a good college? So they can get a good job. And why do we want them to get a good job? So they can go make lots of money and have a comfortable life and live the American dream. Now, there's nothing wrong with that focus on academic excellence. Again, Geneva provides that. Nothing's wrong with helping our kids do all that they can to get into a good college or get a good job or even make a nice living. But none of those things really gets at the true purpose of a Christian school. None of those things really captures the purpose or mission of a Christian education. What I want to do for you tonight in the next few minutes is call your attention to a central aspect of Christian education that we are prone to neglect, but it is every bit as critical to our project as having a biblically shaped curriculum. See, the goal of Christian education really is the formation of Christian disciples. It's really all about Christian discipleship. And so Christian education is not just about data transfer. It's really about character formation. Information transfer is not a sufficient education, even if all the information transferred is thoroughly Christian and thoroughly biblical. The education that we're seeking to impart to our children, true education, not only fills the mind, it forms the character. It shapes the whole person. In other words, I'll put it this way. True Christian education trains students to not only take up their Bibles, but to take up their crosses. The cross is indeed the center of a Christian education. Without the cross, we have at best, as C.S. Lewis put it, trousered apes, or men without chests. Lewis said that education without values serves only to make man a more clever devil. I would say education without the cross serves to make man only a more clever devil. Consider those two verses I read from Matthew. First, Matthew 10:25. Jesus says there that a student or a disciple is to become like his teacher. See, it's not just that the student or disciple would come to know what his teacher knows. It's that he will be like his teacher in every way. He will be conformed to the master's likeness. He will have his master's character reproduced in him. It's not just intellectual likeness we're after. It's whole life likeness. That's the goal. That's the goal of the master-student or teacher-student relationship. The student is to come to mirror the teacher. He becomes a copy of his teacher. Now, of course, Jesus himself is the ultimate master, the ultimate teacher. And so for all Christians, young and old alike, he's the pattern we seek to imitate. He's the model. But in each sphere of life, Jesus uses representatives. He uses he uses representatives to stand in for him. He's the ultimate model, but these representatives serve as proximate models, secondary models. These secondary models include parents and pastors and, of course, Christian school teachers as well. See, the Christian school, schools like Geneva, the Christian school is to be an instrument of discipleship. It aims to produce not necessarily the smartest kids or the kids with the best test scores. It aims to produce Christ-like kids. Now, Christ-likeness doesn't show up on a report card. You can't quantify it with a numerical score. And so maybe for that reason, it's easy for us to ignore it. But that's really the test of the worth of any Christian school. Are the students being produced by this institution in combination with what their parents are doing? Are we producing Christ-like disciples? Christ-like disciples, disciples who have become like the ultimate teacher, Jesus himself. See, the way the Christian school does this, the way this happens in any venue, is what Jesus describes in that other verse from Matthew's gospel we read, Matthew 16, verse 24. There Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, that is, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Time and time again in the Gospels, Jesus talks about the cross. He talks about his impending cross, how he will go to the cross and he will suffer and die. And again in the Gospels, when you see Jesus talking about his cross, he immediately moves from that to talking about how his disciples must take up their crosses as well. Jesus' cross is linked to our cross. Jesus' cross leads to our crosses. His cross stands at the center of history. His cross really is the key that unlocks the meaning of everything. It unlocks the meaning of the whole Bible. It unlocks the meaning of history. His cross achieves our salvation. It ushers in the kingdom of God. That's why the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, could say he was resolved to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Paul says, I am resolved to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Now, that may make Paul sound like an anti-intellectual. Like Paul saying, well, all you need to know is the simple message of the gospel. You don't need to know anything else. But actually, I think Paul is saying just the opposite. Paul's point is the cross stretches out in every direction. It stretches out to the four corners of the world. It connects to everything. It covers everything. And so to know the cross, as Paul speaks of, to know the cross is to know God. What is the cross? The cross is the work of God. It is the ultimate revelation of God. The cross is the work of God the Father who gave his Son in love for the salvation of the world. It's the work of God the Son who gave himself and laid down his life for his people. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit because the Son offers himself to the Father through the Holy Spirit. See, the life of God is cruciform. In knowing the cross, we know the Trinity. We know God himself. In knowing the cross, we know history. History is cruciform. Knowing the cross is really the key to knowing what history is all about. All of history before the cross prepares for and flows into that climactic moment. Everything since that moment is the outworking of the implications of the cross for the whole world. The cross truly is the center and shape of all reality. See, the cross is our salvation, but it's so much more. It's the center of the Christian worldview. And the cross is not just the key to the Christian worldview. It's really the model for the whole Christian way of life. To know Christ and him crucified is to know enough. Because to know Christ and him crucified is to really know the key to everything there is. It's really all we need to know, provided we understand the cross is not just a piece of data, but gives rise to a whole way of looking at reality and a whole way of living life. See, how do students become like their master? How do disciples become like Jesus? It's only as we take up our crosses and follow Him. Now, what does that mean for the Christian school? The truly Christian school is cruciform. Its teachers are cruciform. Its classroom is cruciform. The curriculum is cruciform, and it aims at producing cruciform students. Students whose whole way of looking at the world and living in the world has been shaped by the cross. Again, it's about producing students who don't just take up their Bibles, but who also take up their crosses. That's what we're aiming to produce. Now, obviously, a cruciform education is radically countercultural. To educate this way, to speak this way, to strive for this kind of life, puts you out of step with our culture, out of step with the American way of life. You know, sometimes the baby boomer generation was referred to as the me generation because they were trained to focus really only on themselves. It was me, 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 me all the time. Me 24/7, my wants, my needs, my desires, my everything. Not a lot has changed since then. This current up-and-coming generation has already been labeled, appropriately I think, the selfie generation. Because today's kids are so obsessed with the self. And the perfect symbol of this generation is thus the selfie, that self-made portrait that is so ubiquitous on social media. Kids today just can't take enough selfies. They can't post enough of these self-portraits on social media for all the world to see. Why? So all the world can like it. Because, of course, all the world is going to like me. It's all about me. It's about me, myself, and I. I am, after all, the most important self in the world, am I not? That's how most young people today are learning to think about themselves. That's how most people are learning to think about the world. They may be taught in their science class that the planets all revolve around the sun. But in every other area of life, they're being taught everything revolves around me. I am the center of everything. This generation is resolved to know nothing but the self and the self-fulfilled. It's all about self-esteem, self-realization, self-fulfillment. But what did Jesus say about the self? He said you have to deny the self. He says you have to crucify the self. The self has to die with Christ. The self has to take up its cross. See, what is a genuinely Christian school? A Christian school is a place where denial of self is taught and modeled and practiced and cultivated. It's a place where students are taught to serve others instead of serving self. It's a place where students resolve to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. A Christian school is a place where the ethos and culture of the school is shaped by the cross. And that means training students in servanthood. And when we train servants, what we're really doing, again, this is countercultural, the world wouldn't see it this way, but when we train servants, what we are really doing is training leaders. And in a culture that is completely obsessed with the self, when we train the students in our schools, schools like Geneva, to deny themselves, in one sense, that's going to be seen as blasphemy against the God of our age, the God of self. The almighty self must not be insulted. The almighty self must get its way. And we're saying no to that. The self must be put to death. That idol must be smashed. That idol must be brought down. But here's the thing. When we train our kids in the way of the cross, when we train them in servanthood, we're really training them to be the leaders of the next generation. Leaders in the future. Because Jesus makes it clear, if you seek influence without seeking to serve, you're not going to be influential, and of course you're not going to be of any use to anyone else. But if you seek to serve, if you make that your aim, if you seek to serve, you become incredibly influential. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Professor Kirk says to the Pevensey children, "I do wonder what they teach at schools these days." at a Christian school, we should be able to say, what we teach is the cross. What we teach is the way of the cross. And if we teach the way of the cross, as Geneva Academy is seeking to do, the whole world will be astonished at it. They will be astonished at our children, and they will exclaim in amazement, what do they teach in those schools these days? What are they teaching? We've never seen anything like this. Kids who not only have sharp minds, but who use their gifts and their talents and their strengths to serve others. Kids who aren't just living for pleasure and to be entertained, but who live for others, who lay down their lives for the good of others. Geneva is a school that is cultivating the way of the cross in its students. The way of humility, the way of service, the way of ministry. Because Geneva is seeking to impart to the next generation a biblically centered, Christ-centered way of life, a holistic, fully orbed education, it is a school worthy of support. To invest in Geneva is to invest in the kingdom of God. To invest in Geneva is to promote the way of the cross. The great Christian philosopher Oregon Rosenstock Husey once said, "The cross is the fountainhead of all my values." Rosenstock Husey understood the cross is, yes, a historical event that stands at the center of history, but it's more than that. It gives us a worldview. It gives us a system of values. It gives a way of life to God's people. When you support Geneva, you're promoting that way of life. You're demonstrating the way of the cross in your own life through your sacrificial giving. And you're supporting a school that proclaims the way of the cross and that seeks to impress the way of the cross upon its students. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for Geneva. Again, we thank you for its partnership with parents. We thank you for what it offers to families at Auburn Avenue and beyond, in the entire Monroe area. Father, we pray that you would rain down your blessings upon Geneva. We pray that Geneva's teachers, Geneva's curriculum, Geneva's students would all be shaped by the cross. For we know this is where true wisdom is found, in the cross. Father, we pray that Geneva and other schools like it would continue to grow and multiply throughout our land. For we know in so many ways, schools like Geneva are the key to reclaiming, recapturing, and transforming our culture. Father, we pray all these things in the merciful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.